altar of stone for sins to atone. Once a year to pardon and free, slay a lamb pure and white, make a blood sacrifice, was the way that it used to be. But the prophets of old the story foretold of a Savior who would set men free. He would give his own life for the blood sacrifice that would last for eternity. God gave his own Son, our sins to atone. The supreme sacrifice was made. Jesus hung on the cross, shed his blood for the lost. The price for redemption was paid. On that third day, he rose from the grave, ascended in victory. On the altar of God, he placed his own blood, the blood that made men free. Yes, on that third day, he rose from the grave, ascended in victory. On the altar of God, he placed his own blood, the blood that made men free, the blood.
Let's find the book of Psalms in the Word of God, the book of Psalms, and we will find the 37th Psalm together. And we will be there in just a moment, Psalm 37. And this morning I want to preach about the pathway to success that is laid out for us in the Word of God. There are so many wonderful verses that describe for us the Christian life and illustrate for us the Christian life and give to us great truths in how we can be successful, because God wants us to be successful. God wants us to thrive, not just survive. When I went to, my wife and I a couple of years ago went to synagogue. We didn't know this till on the way, till we got home, but there was a Senegalese man on the flight home that had crawled up into the wheel well of the airplane trying to go to America. And we didn't know this until the news broadcasted it when we got home. But, you know, I often think about that flight, that eight-hour flight home, and we were thriving in the airplane, you know, enjoying all the comforts of what it was to enjoy in the cabin, and here was a man in the wheel well freezing to death during that time. And oftentimes in the Christian life, we are just holding on for dear life, and this is not the abundant life that God wants us to have. God doesn't want us just to survive, you know, white-knuckling our life for Christ. God wants us to thrive in our Christian life. He wants us to have that abundant life, and he wants us to have that success in our Christian life. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, And this is the destination that God wants for every Christian. Ye that are spiritual, God wants us to be spiritual individuals. Now, spiritual individuals is not how long you've been a Christian. Does not determine if you're a spiritual. You can be a Christian for 30 years and still be carnal. Understand that. To be a spiritual Christian means that you are following after the Spirit's influences in your life. We think about a man named Stephen. When he was taken from this world, he was stoned to death. And the Bible says his final words, he looked at his oppressors and said, lay not this sin to their charge. Where did he get that? He got that from the Lord Jesus, who said the same idea on the cross. Lay not this sin to their account. Lay not this sin, for they know not what they do. And the Bible teaches us in John chapter 15 that the Holy Spirit is going to glorify the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to testify, not of himself. You know, there's a problem when churches, when people come together in churches and they glorify the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit is lifted up, he's going to glorify the Lord Jesus. And the reality is that when we are spiritual, when we are following after the Holy Spirit's influence, we are going to be more like the Lord Jesus in our life. As Stephen was, the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit. And so God wants us to be a spiritual individual. This is God's desire for our life. And God has given to us everything that we need for us to be this type of person. Now, understand that salvation is an event. When you were physically born, that was an event that happened. You were born one day. You have a birthday. I was born October 22nd, 1980. That was my birthday, my physical birthday. And I have a spiritual birthday. I was born again when I was 10 years old beside my bed. My dad led me to the Lord. Salvation is an event. You should be able to remember the time when you called upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You should be able to remember the time when you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. But salvation is that event, and that's being right with God. But sanctification is a process. After we are saved, God begins to work on our life. This sanctification is being made unto the likeness of his Son. That's a process. That happens every single day of your Christian life. God is working on you, and we need to listen and submit to the Spirit's working in our life as he leads us into all truth. But salvation is an event, and we know that sanctification is a process. And so if you're saved, you are at this very moment in that process, and you will be in that process until you see the Lord Jesus face to face. So God wants us to succeed. He wants us to be spiritual people. Now think about this. The devil wants you to fail. The devil wants you to fail. You know, the devil wants two things. He wants people to go to hell. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, we talk about the Spirit's influence. Let's talk about the devil's influence. He's the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, and his influence is everywhere. We want to know why there's all these religions and these false teachers. It's because of the prince of the power of the air. It's because of the God of this world. And he wants the gospel message to be hidden. He doesn't want people to hear the truth. He doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel to shine to your friends, to your neighbors, or if you don't know the Lord, to you. He doesn't want you to be saved. He wants you to die and to go to hell. That's the delight of the devil. So God wants us to succeed. The devil wants us to fail. And God over and over again declares for us that we are involved in a spiritual battle. The devil is a roaring lion. He's walking about waiting to pounce and to destroy. He wants you to fail. He doesn't want you to reach spiritual maturity. He doesn't want you to get to the place of a spiritual individual. He wants to distract you. He wants to take advantage of you. Satan promises you the very best, but he pays with the worst. Satan promises you honor, but pays with disgrace. He promises you pleasure, but in the end, all you have is pain. He promises you profit, but pays with loss. He promises you life, but all he has to offer you is death. Satan does not want you to succeed. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an inch in your life. You've probably heard the saying, you give someone an inch, they take a mile. You give Satan an inch, he's going to take a mile in your life. He doesn't want you to succeed. And so the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get advantage of us. Paul says to the church at Corinth, I'm going to forgive you because I don't want the devil to have an advantage in my life because I'm not ignorant of his devices. I know what the devil wants for me. The devil doesn't want me to succeed. The devil is going to do everything he can to influence you not to be committed to the Lord. A Haitian pastor illustrated to the congregation of his church the need for commitment to the Lord. And he gave to them this parable. He said, a certain man wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Another man wanted very badly to buy it, but because he was poor, he couldn't afford the full price. After much bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the original price with just one condition. He would retain ownership of one small nail that was just over the door on that house. After several years, the original owner wanted his house back, but the new owner was unwilling to sell it. So the first owner went out, found a carcass of a dead dog, and he hung it from that single nail that he still owned on that house. Soon the house became unlivable, and the family was forced to sell the house to the owner of the nail. The Haitian pastor's conclusion was this: if we leave the devil with even one small peg in our life, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it, making it unfit for Christ's abode. Listen, friend, don't let the devil have even one place in your life. Because I can tell you from experience, he's not going to be satisfied with that one nail. He wants you to fail. God wants you to succeed. This is the spiritual battle that we have in our life. But God has given us the answers. And I believe some wonderful truths for your Christian life is found in Psalm 37. Can we read the first couple of verses together? We're going to read down to verse number 6. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we look at your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see your truth and your help for our lives. If there's an individual here this morning that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, may today be the day that they settle that matter. So, Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us as Christians to make good decisions this morning. Help us, Lord, I pray, to follow after that which is right and good for our life. And may we progress to be a spiritual Christian. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. The Bible gives to us wonderful truths in this scripture to help us to progress to becoming a spiritual individual. Remember, this is where God wants us to be. The Bible says, first of all, if you're taking notes this morning, would you write it down? Real simple. First of all, we need to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The Bible says in verse 3 of our text, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, the land is speaking of the land of promise. In the Bible, we talk about the promised land as that Christian, victorious Christian life. It's where God wants us to be in our Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 4, there are four different types of rest, or three different types of rest mentioned in this chapter. First of all, there's rest in salvation. And this rest is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus. There's no rest found in religion. There's no rest found in your own promotion or doing good works, trying to do your best to get to heaven. That's not rest. Rest is found in the person of the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad my salvation is not based upon my performance, and keeping my salvation is not based upon my performance. This truly is rest. We can rest in the Lord Jesus. So there's rest in salvation. And then the Bible talks about eternal rest. This would be heaven. This would be heaven. Eternal rest is to be with the Lord Jesus forever. Are you waiting for that day? When we see the Lord face to face, when we see him face to face. And then the Bible says in verse 11 that there is a rest or a promise given to the Christian. And the Bible says that he must labor to enter into this rest. This labor speaks of Christian maturity. This talks about trusting God and obeying God. Why didn't God's people get to the promised land? Because of unbelief. And so the Bible says, labor to enter into this rest. What I'm saying is, it's easy to say, trust the Lord. You know, someone's going through a hard time and you come up beside them and you say, trust the Lord. And it's easy to say that, but when you're in that difficulty in your life, there's a labor. That there's a battle that's taking place to take your circumstance and give it to the Lord, to take your family problem and give it to the Lord, to take your financial problem and give it to the Lord. There's a labor that is involved in that, because everything in our strength and our power, we want to do it ourselves. We want to figure it out. We want to be the problem solver. But the Bible says if you're going to take steps to Christian maturity, then you need to trust God and obey him. You need to trust and obey. And so there's a labor to get into that rest. The psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I may have used this illustration before, but when I was a kid, we made a homemade zip line. And it was dangerous, I'll be honest with you. It was really dangerous. And we went way up in a tree. We tied a fishing rope, and we tied it to the bottom of a tree, and we built a platform. We crawled up to that tree, and we made a homemade wheel or something, and we would hook it onto that rope, and you know, we'd fly down this zip line. And I remember my friends going on this zip line over and over again and having so much fun and just having a great time. But I was terrified. I got to the end several times, looked down and said, no way. But I remember finally going down that zip line, and it was a lot of fun. We had a great time until my uncle cut it down, and he said, I quote, you guys are going to kill someone. And so he cut the rope down. But this is the same with the Christian life. You know, it's scared to put your trust in the Lord. Sometimes it's difficult to jump off and put all your circumstances in God's hands, knowing God knows best. There's that labor there to enter into that rest. But friend, God has never failed anyone, and you won't be the first person. You can trust the Lord. You can trust him. And so the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Time and time and time again, David trusted in the Lord, and time and time and time again, God was faithful. And so he said, taste and see that God is good. The hymn writer said, I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. That struggle that happens in our life. And this speaks of Christian maturity, to put your trust in the Lord. You see, as we trust the Lord and as we obey him, notice what the Bible says. It says, trust in the Lord, verse 3 in our text, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and do what is right. Trust in the Lord and do what he says. Trust in the Lord and follow his wisdom for your life. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. You know, as we trust the Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 3, that God will lead us to a place of peace. The Bible teaches us in this psalm, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land. That is the land of promise. That is the land of that's flowing with milk and honey. That's the land of God's provision and God's protection. Trust in the Lord and come to the place of promise where God wants you to be. Trust him, obey him, and God will lead you to this promised land, this victorious life where you find rest for your soul. But not only do we find a place of peace, but think about it, we also find a place of pasture. The Bible says in this scripture, Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know, there's an inherent need in the heart of humanity to worship a higher power. God placed that within us. That's why the devil has a heyday with religions, because men want to worship God. It is written in their heart that there is a God and that they must submit to the Creator. And so the Bible says that as we trust the Lord, as we follow the Lord, God brings us to a place of peace, and God brings us to a place where we are fed, we are satisfied. The hungry soul can find food as we are satisfied, as he gives peace and pasture to the Christian. Turn with me a familiar psalm to Psalm 23. You know this psalm. Let's look at it together. Psalm 23 and verse number 1. David understood this as he trusted and obeyed God. He understood that God was his shepherd, and God led him to a place of peace and pasture. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am satisfied. God gives to me everything that I need. And oftentimes, when Christ is all we have, we realize very quickly he's all we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236, or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
Week ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RU Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. And whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RU offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RU is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith, anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your first weekend for strong beginnings with RU Recovery? RU Recovery meets Friday nights at 7 p.m. at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. For more information, call Michael at 226-336-7680.